September 13th, Rabbi Cohen, Shia 2 out of 3, Three High Holy Days.
You know, the real professionals say today is September. Whoa. What was I thinking?
What is today? September
13th. Okay, so last week, Debbie was just about to say what we did last week. We actually looked at not one, but two PU10, which had a lot in common. They both had the same refrain. Okay, and if we look at last week's handout on page one, no, I made a big mistake. I didn't set the second side. Sherry, that's a good place because fortunately I know you, so I can see that far away, people I know. So one of the effects of the computer era, so I teach young people, the computer era texting, they are losing their vocal cords. They're starting to attrition because that's the other thing about teaching young people. You can say anything.
They don't know any language anyway. It doesn't matter. They have no idea what language means.
Huh?
The attrition process.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thanking God. So they do whatever that. So they all speak very softly because they, you know, it's so rare that you actually have to speak. So,
plus, they're usually in a coffee shop doing their texting, and they don't want to talk to us.
So, but the sign of being old is if we look at the young and say, oh, rock and roll, what kind of music is that? That's what we're doing, and we should stop. Okay, so on the top of this page, you have what is the refrain of both of these PU10. And we talked about how the creation of this refrain. Okay? And so we had Hashem Melech, turns out to be only one pasuk in the entire Tanakh. Okay? And it's in Tehillim. It's no surprise that the book of Tehillim will be a major source of inspiration for PU10, because after all,
poetry.
Yeah, and it's prayer poetry. Okay, so. And one of the things we noted is when it comes to Hashem Malach, the most interesting pasuk was not in Tehillim, but it was in a part of Divrei Hayamim, which is quoting a psalm. Okay? So, and remember, so that's that last bullet there. And what was interesting about that verse? What was it about? That was Yismachu Hashamayim V'Tagel Haaretz.
It's unifying Malachim and Bnei
Adam. Okay, so that's an interpretive step. The shot.
My apologies. This is the class that starts at 8 p.m.
You know what? For you, I will say the following. This is the class that starts at 8:15, but you know, we... It depends.
Where did you come to learn?
Yeah. Remember, after ninth graders, this is heaven.
It's like it's kindergarten. So it's all relatives. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyone who needs last week's handout? You do not.
Are we going to spend some time on it? I haven't got it. I just.
Okay. Nah. Okay. Now, so it's.
Shamayim and Aretz.
Shamayim and Aretz join in. The Shamayim and the Aretz join together to say Hashem Malach. So that is a wonderfully expressive verse for what we are trying to do in these piyutim, that Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, that somehow is going to be a statement that is appropriate both for the angels in heaven and for us people on earth. Okay, so that, I just want you to remember that. Now, the third pasuk, the third element of that Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, where's the third element from?
What do you mean, third element?
Hashem Melech is from Tehillim, Yod. Hashem Malach is various places in Tehillim, and a refrain in Divrei Hayamim. And where is Hashem Yimloch Lolam Va'ed? Okay, so that is the crescendo point of Shirat Hayam. Okay, now, with that in mind, so I made a statement that I'm afraid to check, lest I be wrong. I made a statement that the Kedusha, I started to say the Kedusha does not appear in the Talmud. And then I backtracked. Do you remember? I said it does not appear in the Mishnah.
But it does in the Tosefta.
In the Tosefta, there's something. There is something. Okay? And what is in the Tosefta is one version of the Kedusha that I want to look at with you, and then we'll come back to these piyutim. So that is Uvalitzia. Can we find that? We all have the same book. So you're telling me I'm hogging two books?
No, I'm just saying I'd like a book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now, one of the things I mentioned last time is that, you know, if the Kedusha is not mentioned in the Talmud, then in many ways the Kedusha is an early piyut. It represents taking a takadosh and, I'm afraid to make up my own verbs now, I would have said piyutizing it. Piyutizing atakadosh, where atakadosh itself has some hint at the angelic words of Yeshayahu. Atakadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, doshim. So it mentioned three times. And that kadoshim may well be a specific reference to the angels. Okay, fine. Now, what is, so I need to look with you at Uva Letzion, and my question is whether Uva Letzion is, what is it? Is it a piyut? Is Uva Letzion a piyut? So I'm asking you to look at it. Okay, I heard most of the words that you said.
What's a clue that would help us discern
okay.
whether it's a piyut?
Okay, can someone help out on that?
That's you defined last week.
I'm not responsible for what I said last week, even though there's a recording. Yeah.
What was in the original doctrine, the original formula for the tefillot? And then that's why you,
yeah.
And that was what was most interesting. You said the Kedusha was not found, and that may be an example of the earliest piyut. And I thought that was, it was new for me, and I found it very interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. Generally, we don't think of something as a piyut if we feel good about it, if it feels connective and approachable. In other words, a truly successful piyut starts to sound as if it's part of the original. Okay, so now, in the time of the Talmud, what was your repertoire of tefillot?
Rachav.
Hmm?
brachot.
Okay, so there are brachot.
And tefillah, which we know Shemona Esrei.
Okay, the word tefillah in the Talmud means the Shemona Esrei. So I would say that your repertoire were two things. There were brachot, like some brachot that existed in isolation, and then there were brachot that existed in series. And what's an example of brachot series? No.
Amida.
The Amida and Birkat HaMazon. Okay? And these had certain rules. Okay? The first in the series was to start with Baruch and end with Baruch. All subsequent ones
end
with Baruch, do not start with Baruch. They are Brachas Mucha L'Chaverta. Okay, yes. Yeah? Nachamol?
Didn't hear it either.
I heard you say the Amida, and then I heard it again. Okay, so I'm going to answer as follows. Perhaps. Can I get away with that? Okay. It's a distinct possibility. There definitely was Amida in the Mishnah. Birkat HaMazon in the Mishnah. What we can't know is how fixed and firm the structure was. There certainly were these series with the structure we have today. Whether there were these particular words, I can't say, and I don't think anyone can say. Actually, they can say, but. Yes and no. Huh? Yeah, okay. From the Yerushalmi and the Cairo Geniza, it would seem that Vela Mal Shinim was not later.
Okay.
And that was
so
maybe. Okay. Now, what had I asked you? Okay.
Is Valentin going
on here? So you basically had two things. You had something like the Kriyat Shema, in which you recited whole sections of consecutive psukim, and then you had the Amidah, which were composed prayers, not taken from Tanakh, but perhaps integrating motifs taken from the Tanakh. Those were the two elements. What is happening here? What is this? Uva
L'Tzion. It's a miscellany. It's a miscellany of verses from different places.
Okay, so is that how you say it too?
Miscellaneous.
No, you. Is that how you say it too? Are you from a different part of London? Because this is an unexpected bonus of this class. We will learn how to say things right. So I live in terror of such words because my parents were refugees, so I'm always in fear that I'm gonna mispronounce something and everyone will find out. But, okay. Oh, you missed, you have to listen. He said miscellany. He said miscellany. Miscellany. I can't even say it. Okay.
We say miscellany.
Okay.
He says miscellany.
Okay. So what you have here, this is known, this has a name, especially from Vatakadosh, has a name in the Talmud, in the rabbinic literature. This is Kedusha de Sidra. This Kedusha de Sidra, and I think this is the one that the Tosefta might be talking about. So you don't have here anything composed. Everything here is a pasuk. But what is the artistic creativity?
Also, translation.
The way they're put together. Okay, so the first pasuk is from Tehillim, Va'ata Kadosh. That's a nice one for Kedusha. Ata Kadosh, and what do the next three words mean? Yeah? What's it mean? You can look in the...
In the phrases of Israel.
Rabbi Sachs.
Okay. Rabbi Sachs, and he speaks correctly. Okay. So this, the way Chazal interpret this is they take this as permission to... for human beings to recite the angelic words. Okay? You are enthroned not just by the angels' recitations, but Ata Kadosh, you're sitting there and waiting for
the praises of the people.
Israel. And therefore, what do they weave next into this little mosaic?
Kedusha?
Sure. What the angels
say. What the angels
say. So you're sitting there waiting for the Jewish people to join in, and so let me tell you what it is that you, God, is sitting waiting for. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now, what happens after we now have two verses put together? What happens then?
Targum. Change
languages. Targum. So what is that all about, having Targum here?
Vernacular.
Doresh. It's the, I don't know how to translate it. It's
so
the,
perhaps this indicates something of a discomfort with undertaking angelic words, and so we're hedging our bets. What are we doing if the Targum is here? Huh? Yes, we're studying this stuff. Are we becoming angel-like and actually repeating those words as if they are our own? No. We're studying as evidenced by the Targum. Okay. Then what comes next after the Targum?
I wouldn't say that they're studying. It's more a question of actual getting.
Okay, so Kriyat HaTorah is... study of Torah.
Right, but in terms of, like, in the context of the synagogue, you have the brachot that we're talking about, and you have the Torah. You don't necessarily have base energy.
This might be what they told you in Gush, so okay, I won't disagree. but in our shul, the reason we are able to have a women's Torah reading is because it is Talmud Torah. Okay. So, what comes next?
Nothing.
What's next?
Yecheskel's.
Merkava.
It's the other angelic quote, but this is a more cautious than the way we are ultimately going to do it in our Kedusha. How so?
Because you get the intro.
Yes, you get
the quote.
Okay, the entire pasuk is here. Vatisaini ruach v'ashmach raik kol rash gadol. So again, we're covering our bases. We're reading an entire pasuk, where by the time the Kedusha becomes standard, we have enough of self-confidence about this Kedusha to just take part of that pasuk, just the essential part. Lumatam baruch yomeru, baruch. Okay. Now, in fact, when we say lumatam baruch yomeru, baruch is the cue. They say Baruch, and then we say it out. Okay. And again, you have the Targum. So far, this is very much like what is going to be the later Kedusha. And then what happens?
Wait, are you saying that this is a precursor to the...
Yes.
Later? Okay.
And then it finishes with our quote from the pew.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
This is providing a way for human beings to be able to speak the words of the angels. Is that what this is? Is that what you're saying it is?
Didn't hear the question. It's really hard to hear.
I'm trying to understand. Is this then the providing human beings with the ability, with the right to speak the words of the angels by putting it in the Targum. Is that what you're saying?
No. By putting it into Targum, you're saying, oh, we're just studying some Torah.
We're not really saying it.
Yes.
But, essentially,
but of course we are.
It's actually giving us a way to say
yes.
it.
Yes. Okay. In case someone has problems with this, perhaps
really
a brazenness of us saying their words, well, maybe what's happening here is that we're studying. This is just a miscellany of Psukim. Oh, I can hardly wait to call my mother and tell her this. And she'll say, I say Zuckman does. Okay, now, so just like in the Kedusha, there are three verses. And here, what is the third verse? Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed. Okay, now, it's not an angelic verse in the Torah. It's a
human verse.
It's a human verse. Okay, now, what happens when the Kedusha de Sidra becomes the core from which the full-fledged Kedusha develops? What happens to verse number 3? They don't use this one. Okay. But this verse has the full pedigree. Based Kedusha de Sidra is telling us that the verse Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed is worthy of standing side by side with
Kedush.
With angelic verses. It has the status of angelic verses. And so that is enough for a still later development of Piyut. They take the key phrase Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed. Thanks to the Kedusha de Sidra, that is seen as a verse worthy of people working hand in hand with angels, and they add Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, and that refrain becomes the perfect refrain for a piyut which is focused on human speaking and angel speaking. And so now I need to just pause. You know, the professional professors will say a footnote, meaning they're going to talk now about what they're going to want to talk about for as long as they want to talk about it, and hopefully you'll remember where the original subject was. So the footnote, I can't believe I'm doing, oh, I didn't mean Jay.
I know.
I saw you look down. I mean, or anyone in Massachusetts or New England. Okay, so, this isn't the first time today I regretted saying something. I'm happy if it's less than a dozen times a day. Okay, so why in the Kedusha do we not use as verse number 3, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed? Instead, why do we use, where is that verse from that we do use? Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam.
Hallelujah.
Why do we use that verse where the Kedusha de Sidra used Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed? So that's a question. I'm comfortable asking you that question because there's no canonical answer to that question. No one tells you, oh, this is what. It's a matter of what you're thinking about this little puzzle and what you bring to it. Okay? You have any theories? Okay. So
so it sort of makes it more palatable that, you know, as a human being we're using this verse because.
Okay, but Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed is Moshe and Bnei Israel. Okay. And you could say, well, it's just nice to have in the threesome a verse from Tehillim. What else?
Somebody made it up. Somebody
put
it in there.
So they, because you have to, it's like Shakespeare verteicht und verbessert, right? Okay. But anything else? Yeah, it contains the word. It has Yimloch Hashem, So Hashem Yimloch Lo Lo. So, and it contains the verse, the word Tzion. And that, so I would say, what you just said has a great deal of appeal, and it makes sense. It makes the Kedusha that much more meaty because it resonates with Shirat Hayam from Yetziat Mitzrayim, but then it has that word Tzion about what our future hopes are in. Okay, so all of that is interesting. The main reason I wanted to look at the Uvala Tzion is to see the pedigree of the Pasuk Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed, that it's right in there with the Kedusha verses. Okay, now.
So is it a piyut?
Is Uvala Tzion a piyut? I think that it also is, I also agree that it can be seen as a piyut. It is because there is a piyut, there's a poet with poetic creativity. And there's a great deal of creativity involved in combining verses. And this is the preliminary stage for the next stage in which people actually make up poems, and basically they're saying, I, a Jew, in this modern era of the 5th century or the 6th century, as unworthy as I am, I can do this. And so the Uvala Tzion is like the first stage, and then the Piyutim that we've seen is building up on what has been done in the past. Okay, now, any comments? Okay. I would like to just, before we go on to a new piyut, which is also about the angels, which is from Yom Kippur, I want to just take another quick look at the two piyutim that we did last time. So it's always a dilemma, you know, to make a decision. Do you want to look back again at something you looked at? So as I was I didn't have to prepare last night, but I did have to fuss with what will be Xeroxed when. And as I was, actually over the last few days, so I was looking over these piyutim, and they were starting to feel unfamiliar to me, and I taught them, so I thought you might forgive me if we look at them, you're forgiving. Okay, now. Remember what was the structural difference. One is they're both of these, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed, they both occur in Shachrit of Rosh Hashanah, and they're both part of the series that's building up to the Kedusha. Okay, and actually in each day they more or less have the same position. And I think it took me many years before I realized that these were actually two different piyutim. You know, you just, you say Hashem Melech a lot of times. Okay, now, what was the poetic difference between the two?
The second is much more convoluted.
Okay, I am not familiar with the word convoluted. I assume that it's from the Yiddish or so. So can we use another word besides that?
They're both alphabetical.
This was alphabetical too, but then it repeats. Right.
Okay.
First part spells out the name, and the second part.
The second one was a more complicated.